You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Hello and a warm welcome to the Poll Pundit podcast here on CNBCTV18.com. On the podcast today, we're breaking down some of the key projections for assembly election results in Tamil Nadu and Puducherry, picking up estimates from a bevy of exit polls. On the podcast with me today is Mr. N. Ram, former editor-in-chief of The Hindu and director of The Hindu Publishing Group. Mr. Ram, good to speak to you as always.
Yes, I'm happy to speak to you.
You know, Mr. Ram, I can't think of a single poll that said anything that's different along expected lines, most of them. We're talking 150 to 170 seats for the DMK at average, at least. That's what the CNX exit poll has said. Axis My India has projected a maximum of 195 seats in the state for the DMK. So by all counts, MK Stalin all set to become the next chief minister, you'd say?
Yes, I mean, India Today poll gives it even higher. So going up to 190, 170 odd to 190. Yes, absolutely. It's in the pocket of the DMK. Yes, there's absolutely no doubt. The opinion polls made it clear. Also, remember that in terms of vote share, it's well over 12 or 13 percentage points. And that, I think, would translate into much more than the numbers that some of the polls are allocating. It would be closer to, I think, 190 if this gap in vote share holds, comes through in the second, the counting. So I think it's going to be a very big win, a sweep, in fact.
All right. So we'll break down all those numbers and tell you just exactly how the DMK could well manage to sneak in a landslide victory as the days go by. My name is Jude Sanath, and you're watching the Poll Pundit podcast with Mr. N. Ram. You know, before I proceed, Mr. Ram, I just want to get one question out of the way and help our viewers understand what these numbers really mean. You know, familiar poll trends, at least familiar for you and me, who've covered many elections past, the likes of the AMMK, the MNM, have returned with hardly anything. But hasn't that always been the case? You give the Tamil Nadu voter too many options to choose from, and they go back to picking familiar names, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. That's a good insight. I think people vote for, you know, viable winning candidates and alliances. And it's largely a bipolar contest in Tamil Nadu. There have been exceptions in the past. 1989 comes to mind. After M.G. Ramachandran died, his party split. That is an exception, but otherwise, it's exactly what you say. I think people, political awareness is very high, and they may be attracted to a candidate or a particular party or group or something they say, but they are not going to waste their votes. That's, I think, feature of voting behavior, voters' behavior in Tamil Nadu. And yes, these small parties, people will speculate about it'll error into this alliance's vote share or that. But at the end of the day, they have only a marginal impact.
You know, but one thing that's really piqued my curiosity as I've gone about covering not just this poll, but the previous one as well, but particularly with this one. You know, Tamil Nadu is a state that votes with anti-incumbency being one of the key features of poll trends. And, you know, in keeping with that, what the voter was essentially contending with here, what the AIADMK rather was contending with here, was 10 years of worth of anti-incumbency. So would you say this mandate, and if it does come to pass, because these are merely estimates, is more of an anti-BJP AIADMK mandate? Or would you say that, you know, the DMK has won this election or will win this election by all counts and by its own right? Which of the two do you feel made the bigger impact? Anti-incumbency in favor of the DMK, or a DMK victory in favor of, well, what the DMK had to offer, as opposed to the fact that the voters wanted to pick a party that was not the AIADMK?
A couple of things. One is, what does it represent? I was in a panel on a very good opinion polls done by Pudhiya Thalaimurai and APT Research Group. And what came out very clearly is the chief minister actually improved his talk a little bit. And rather than anti-incumbency, it was a very positive vote for change and for the leadership of Mr. M.K. Stalin, who clearly dominated the game in Tamil Nadu in that opinion poll. I have experience with that particular polling organization, and I think it captured it right. The second thing that came out, which was interesting for me, was that you could say today that had the AIADMK not gone with the BJP, they may probably have fared better, because there was a real negative trend against the business of allying with the BJP in Tamil Nadu. And I think that came out very clearly in the responses. And I think it is also true on the ground. There is an intense opposition to the BJP sort of encroaching on Tamil soil with its ideology, with Hindutva, with Hindi and all that. So I think these are the two things that I found are interesting in what the poll findings have highlighted. positive mandate, not just anti-incumbency. In fact, anti-incumbency may be a little lower than expected for the new man at the helm. And secondly, BJP is a liability for the AIDMK.
I'm really glad you bring that point up because it's something that has dominated most living room discussions, most pre-poll discussions, and even discussions while polling was on. Did the AIADMK commit a blunder while deciding to ally with the BJP? Most experts say they had no choice simply because even while governance was on, the BJP was playing a very crucial extra-constitutional, if I might add, influence on the AIADMK, and thus going with them was merely no choice that they had. But the BJP factor, you feel, if avoided, could have resulted in better AIADMK gains as far as this election is concerned?
Yeah, I couldn't have put it better than what you said now. I think that's exactly true because it's a hypothetical scenario you're talking about. And it is true that the BJP propped up this government. In fact, when it was about to break up, they used their pressure, good offices, whatever you call it, to bring EPS and OPS together, the factions, perhaps kept Shashikala in check, speculation on that, and suddenly did a lot of behind-the-scenes maneuvering for this government to improve its image, improve its prospects in the election, and so on. So I think all that happened. So in a sense, the junior partner called the shots in this election. But then the AIADMK is a major party. It's all over the state. It had two towering leaders, very powerful leaders. It's still got a cadre. So they've not lost all that. And so it's really the senior partner. But one of the points that I've been hearing in Tamil Nadu is that whatever you say against M.G. Ramachandran or Jayalalitha, when they allied with the BJP, it was an alliance of equals. Whereas I wouldn't use words like servility, slaves, etc. So it's been widely used in politics in Tamil Nadu to attack the role of the AIADMK leadership. But they suddenly were not independent. They did not stand up to the BJP. And even in the seat sharing, I think probably they gave away too many.
You know, I'm really glad you bring that point up, Mr. Ram, because I think it's rather tragic that two leaders who, despite living most of their political lives under the shadow of Ms. Jayalalitha, when it was their time to shine, they were rather overshadowed by the fact that the junior partner, like you say, called most of the shots in this alliance. But, you know, in keeping with the AIADMK, I know we need to speak of the DMK considering that they are probably walking away with this election, but I just want to dwell on the AIADMK for just a bit. At least one poll, if I'm not mistaken, it's the CNX voter poll, says that they still have gains in the Kongu belt, don't they? Very, very interesting returns. Some significant presence retained despite fighting all this anti-incumbency. And they probably lost ground in southern Tamil Nadu with that Devar vote bank, if I'm not mistaken. Significance of this? Do they still retain that pull that they have in certain select constituencies, you think?
Yes, they have, and they have leaders. It's quite decentralized now. And the chief minister has certainly improved his image. There's no question about that. I think all the polls brought it out. But yes, they have been able to. They've been quite sticky in some regions. But the DMK is the juggernaut this time. They're so overpowering that I expect a much higher number than the seat projections. Seat projections, as you know, are not really science because people don't know. Unless you do a huge poll. India Today did that. In every constituency in Tamil Nadu, 150 or so, huge sample. So they may have got it closer, to, you know, the figures. And the figure I see now on the screen is 175 to 190 is their projection for the DMK. 175 to 195, in fact, DMK-led alliance. And there was a backlash. I think it's more the veneer, you know, the promise of reservation, which will surely be struck down by the Supreme Court if it exceeds that. They made a promise for election purposes. I think it triggered a huge backlash among other communities. This is what we have read and heard. And I think it was a very ill-judged, knee-jerk reaction by the...
And a last-minute one at that as well.
Yes.
Right. You know, in keeping with the fact that these polls have predicted big numbers for the DMK, the party's internal estimate itself was in excess of 200. So you wouldn't be, of course, wrong in saying that what these channels and pollsters have put out have been a conservative estimate at best. But I'm very interested in finding out one thing. What would a government under M.K. Stalin look like? There's no denying it. It's going to be his big day on May 2nd if these polls are proved right, and in all probability they will be. What do you reckon? A more centralized governance? Is that what we are likely to see from MK Stalin? Is he going to get the core group of the DMK behind him, much like his father did, in terms of being more democratic in approach towards governance? Talk within the party, at least off the record, is that he sees himself as more of, I don't know if I use this word too hastily, but a bit of an autocrat when it comes to governing. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you've clearly covered elections and have a more keen understanding of the situation politically in Tamil Nadu. What is MK Stalin's governance going to be like?
I've known him for a very long time. He's not one of those who just benefited from being his father's son. I think he worked very hard. During the emergency, he was beaten up in detention. And he's worked very hard. And a lot of people thought that he should have been declared the chief ministerial candidate last time. It didn't happen in 2016. I've been in touch with him right through the pandemic and talking to him about, because they were very clear they were going to win. There's no doubt about it, and win big. But I think he wants to make a very good start. He wants to do it systematically without any controversies or scandals. And I think he's worked very hard, and Prashant Kishore has brought some system into certainly the election campaign management. But after that, I think he would consult with people, and he really wants to make a mark, and he wants to not just be in the shadow of his father, who's a towering personality, but I think he wants to come into his own. And I think the first thing will be how to handle COVID-19. They think it'll peak sometime in May. Tamil Nadu is better off than many other states even now, but it's still a major challenge. I think he's got his plans or his blueprint. There are good officials he will trust. He'll be a very strong leader. There's no doubt. There's no challenge to MK Stalin's leadership in the party. It's very clear. You and I know that. So he's got to watch out against over-centralization. He's got to watch out against people who flatter you. He's got to watch out against the campaign that is bound to arise if several members of the family get too close to power, for example. So I think these things, but he's aware of it. But I think he wants to give Tamil Nadu a good administration. I think that'll be there. Then there'll be temptations which you have to resist.
Absolutely. And some bright new faces as well in Stalin's team. Of course, you have Udayanidhi Stalin, much criticized, of course, was Mr. MK Stalin for continuing what many would call dynastic politics, bringing in sons, nephews, as Mr. Karunanidhi did one time, you know, when he was calling the shots in the DMK. But, you know, you have the likes of Dr. Erilin as well, contesting from Thousand Lights. So if these candidates do end up winning, do you see them featuring in key positions of power?
I hope some of them will. Of course, there's, in a party like the DMK, they're the seniors, and you've got to work for many years before you get plum posts. I think it's one of those parties, at least in the state. So I think while that will also play, I think he'll have to bring in talent. You mentioned Dr. Erilin. He's a very good physician, consultant. I know him pretty well. And then there is this very experienced former mayor, Ma Subramanian, who made a real mark when he was in Saidapet, exactly. People like that. And they have, of course, he's senior and also a strong, you know, very close to Mr. Stalin. People like that. So I think there's got to be a mix of the two, but he will, I think, consciously try to bring in people who are skilled, who are educated, who have shone in particular fields on their own, professionals and so on. But tempered by the fact that seniors will be expecting a good share of the ministerial posts and other posts.
Right. I want to dwell on two key poll planks that the DMK was basing most of their campaign on. And that is, of course, one is the national eligibility and entrance test. They vowed to ban NEET should they come back to power. Another issue they were harping on to a great extent is the national education policy. They were hoping to overhaul it, bring in key changes. They were also, in fact, talking about setting up a special court for prosecution of the AIADMK for crimes that they may have committed, especially on the corruption front. How much of these do you see being given priority should Mr. MK Stalin win? And it is likely that he will, of course, and once he begins taking oath.
Yeah, I think they would not like to be seen to be vindictive, I think. So that's going to be high on their list of priorities. Maybe some cases, notorious cases, if evidence is found, maybe investigated and prosecuted. But I don't think, because Mr. Stalin, you know, the relationship of Mr. Stalin with, say, even Jayalalitha was a little different from the relationship of his father with Jayalalitha. Salin, I think, paid respects. He went to, you know, pay his respects when she died, and her body was in state at the Rajaji Hall. So I think it'll be a little different, and I would guess that he would not want to bring that to the top, that he's seen to go after them right after the rout taken place.
Absolutely.
As for the other things, we will wait and see.
I'll quickly end with just one question, Mr. Ram. In Puducherry, it's a very different script that's playing out, isn't it? After BJP usurped power, to use that word, merely months after that, most polls point to the AINR Congress, backed by the BJP, securing a win. Break that down for me, if you will. What led to that? What is likely to lead to that outcome?
I think a mistake made by the Congress last time. Sarangasamy is congressman, and he was, you know, they made them a strong choice of chief minister. That's how most people see it. And he's got enormous popularity. He's a people's man. So I think it's not BJP so much as the pressure the BJP brought on him to ally with them. That's the factor. The polls are predicting they are ahead. Let's wait and see. I think if Tamil Nadu wins, if the DMK wins this big, DMK Congress Alliance, then I think it will have some impact on Puducherry elections. But all the polls show that the NDA, and so-called NDA, because Rangasamy is not really NDA, just
absolutely
allied with them. If it's a hung assembly, I think it'll be interesting.
Right. Last question before I let you go. What would a government under M.K. Stalin look like? 3 points that come to your mind that, let's say, the citizen of Tamil Nadu can look forward to. What is it likely to be, and how different is it likely to be from the AIADMK that we've seen in the last 10 years?
I think very good handling of COVID. It's not bad now, but I think an improvement, not just relying on lockdowns and so on, but really delivering to the people, taking care of the unorganized workers. I think all that's the number one priority. Two, focusing on development combined with welfare measures. A book came out recently showing that Tamil Nadu has been able to do it successfully. If so, improve on it. And three, you can't get rid of corruption, because there's a scientific system of corruption in Tamil Nadu, but make a big dent on it and provide clean governance. If he does any of these to a reasonable extent over the next year or so, I think the DMK will be in a very good place.
Well, that was N. Ram breaking down the DMK's likely poll sweep in Tamil Nadu, throwing some light on the Puducherry situation as well, vis-a-vis the Congress and the AINR Congress. But for now, we leave it at that. Keep following us on CNBCTV18.com, both our Facebook and Twitter handles, and keep watching CNBCTV18. Mr. Ram, a pleasure as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.